Nigerians from across the country are lamenting extremely high cost of living, rising petrol price amid frequent hike in tariff among the challenges making life unbearable for the people at this time. And you can know, everybody knows that anytime you talk about fuel price increase, definitely it will affect almost everything, So yesterday, Sunday, July 23rd, the federal government through the Nigerian Midstream and Downstream Petroleum Regulatory Authority, NNDPRA, announced the introduction of four additional regulations to address the environmental and safety concerns in the midstream and downstream petroleum sector, you know, saying the regulations were in line with the Petroleum Industry Act. Now, the specific regulations introduced are Midstream and Downstream Petroleum Environmental Regulation 2023, Midstream and Downstream Petroleum Safety Regulation 2023, Midstream and Downstream Decommissioning and Abandonment Regulation 2023, and Midstream and Downstream Environmental Remediation Fund Regulation 2023. All of these regulations are newly introduced. In fact, they were released by yesterday. But that is just an aside. That is just to bring you up to speed as to the latest development in that sector. Our focus this morning is on the operation of the NNPC, and that is very, very germane. And to discuss that with me on the show this morning is Obas Esedesa, Chief Correspondent and Head Energy Desk, Abuja Bureau of the Vanguard Newspaper. Obas, good morning to you, and thank you for joining me on the show this morning.
Good morning, Sheriff. I'm delighted to be here. I understand that in Lagos, you are hotter than fire.
We are hotter than fire.
I'm glad to be here.
Well done, Obas. Thank you for joining. Appreciate it. Let's start. How do we say it now? On a lighter note, what is it like covering the energy sector? What is it like? Just give me your day on the average.
I've done this for about 14 years now. It has been a huge, huge journey. You know, the energy sector, when you talk about energy sector, there are two components of it. First is the oil and gas. The second is the electricity, the power sector. Oil and gas, we know what it means for our country. It is the mainstay of our economy. It is the biggest foreign exchange earner for us. So any issue around it is hot. Then, you talk about the energy that powers our country, that powers our economy. You talk about petrol.
Right.
Petrol, whatever purchases, touches almost all of our country, all of our economy. So, in that context, you see that, you know, anything about it is hot. Nigerians are interested about the supply, about the pricing, you know, the entire value chain. Of it. Then upstream, we talk about crude, we talk about gas exports. From there, we get our dollars that we get to share back. And so it's actually an interesting bit to cover. I've enjoyed it immensely.
All right, Obas. I mean, that's essentially why you're here, because you have that knowledge of that space. But let's begin by looking at some of the operations of the NNPC. I'm sure you're familiar with these operations of the NNPC. I'm going to start with a story I came across about, you know, how they talk about the losses incurred by the NNPC. As a matter of fact, this was put out there by the Nigeria Extractive Industry Transparency Initiative, NAITI. And NAITI said that Nigeria lost about 16.25 trillion to oil theft in the 12 years to 2021. They said Nigeria lost 619.7 million barrels of crude oil. This million barrels of crude oil can be valued at 16.25 trillion that I mentioned earlier. Naira, if you convert that to dollars, it will be about $46.16 billion dollars to crude oil theft between 2009 and 2020 under the watch of NNPC. Essentially, NAITI is saying that there is no crude oil theft without the knowledge maybe without the facilitation by the NNPC. You have covered this space for so long. Do you agree with the observation of Nazy?
Not completely. And I will say this. Let me explain the work Nazy does. Nazy is a part of the global process that tries to bring transparency, openness, accountability in the oil and gas industry.
Right.
So Nazy process, the EITI process, stands on principally three legs, so to speak. The government, the companies, and the civil society organizations.
Right.
Now, the companies are the operators. And 3-4 years back, NNPC became an EITI supporting country. That means we have agreed to adopt the processes that govern the EITI.
Mm-hmm.
Now, NNPC is actually has a seat on the NNPC board. So NNPC is almost part of the NNPC.
Okay.
That is on their relationship.
Okay,
so oil theft, if you check from your intro, NNPC said 2009. So that means oil theft has been with us for a very long time.
Long, long time.
Exactly. Now, because of the role oil plays in our economy, in our revenue, protecting oil assets is a national security issue. So it's not just about NNPC.
Mm.
So you heard, even under Obasanjo, you heard of JTF, the military joint task force that was sent to the Niger Delta to protect these facilities. Now, it got to the extent that more oil was stolen than were being exported. Okay? Early last year, 2021, actually, the CEO of NNPC has actually raised an alarm that, it's getting out of hand. We are losing almost close to $4 billion annually to oil thieves.
Hmm.
And early last year, the CEO of one of the IOC actually had a conversation with him.
Okay.
And he said, this goes beyond the community, no oil kind of things we see in rivers and in Delta.
Hmm.
This is an organized crime.
Hmm.
Okay? And his position was further confirmed by the chairman of Independent Petroleum Producers Group, Razak, Mr. Razak, who told us during an international conference in Abuja that we've got to, because most of the onshore assets are now being managed by local producers, Nigerian companies.
Okay.
He said it got so bad that when you pump crude from your fields, nothing comes out at the terminal.
Whoa.
So what was the reaction of the operators? They simply shut in their wells.
Hmm.
So rather than produce and lose it to peace, they stopped production. Okay, so now...
Sorry to butt in. So if we have all of this going on, especially during the point, from the point of production to the point of transporting this crude, is it appropriate to say that NNPC is unaware of some compromised pipelines? Essentially, this is why Nazy probably thinks that NNPC would be in on this at some point or the other.
No, the point I'm saying is, what is going on there is far beyond NNPC. Far beyond NNPC. Because NNPC, they don't control the police, they don't control the navy, they don't control the army, they don't control the air force, they don't control the security apparatus that ordinarily should curb this. Okay? Now, so what have they done? You have probably heard about the contract with Tonkolo's company.
Right.
$40 billion or thereabouts.
Mm.
So they decided to think outside the box, to go beyond the normal government security apparatus. So they contracted a private security company to help them police, check, monitor, survey, and safeguard the pipelines. And that is why you have seen in the past 8 months, you see production has picked up a bit. So from below 1 million barrels per day, we are up and about above it now, 1.4, 1.5. So you could see that, you know, they decided on their own to do something about it, because it was, see, you make money when you produce, but especially when the price is high. Now, Nigeria, in the past, since Ukraine, Russia invaded Ukraine, when the price of oil spiked, okay, about a year ago, over a year ago, Nigeria didn't benefit for the first time when oil hit, you know, $100. Why? Because the production was not there. So you saw that the government, the revenue, they struggled all through last year. While other oil producing countries were smiling to the bank. So it is not just an NNPC thing. That's the point I'm making.
Okay.
You know, it will take a whole lot of coordination and partnership. You read last week of the vessel that was apprehended.
I was going to come to your boss on that with the with the hiring of private security firm Tantita, and the operations of the military, we still have crude being stolen. And that leads me to my next question, Obaz, as to the monitoring of the pipelines. It's as though NNPC is overwhelmed. NNPC is helpless in terms of, I mean, look, there are technologies that we can use. I know you've been in this space way longer. Me, I'm just on the outside, but that's why you are here, to provide clarity to some of these areas. You know, NNPC should be able to monitor the operations, whatever it is that is happening along the pipelines that we have. Do you, in your coverage, do you think we have such technology?
Yes, I think we are getting there. You know, first, you know, technologies like that are, how do I put it? They are important. They take a lot to get going. There's actually a command center set up by NNPC last year.
Okay.
Yeah, last year. And that is why you are seeing some of the successes they are recording. That they were able to apprehend that vessel.
I saw from the command center of BAS that they can actually even locate, you know, where bunkering is ongoing, you know, compromised pipelines and all of those things. But the problem is to prevent those things from happening, or to catch those people while committing those crimes.
Now let's take a look at that particular vessel, for instance.
Right.
That particular vessel was captured many years ago, handed over to a particular agency, and somehow it disappeared. It registered somewhere under another flag, came back to the Niger Delta, and continued to operate for 12 years. Okay? So that speaks to the partnership I was talking about. So it should be holistic. So when the surveillance, when the camera, when the technology identifies a vessel stealing oil, okay, or transporting stolen crude, and, you know, how long does it take to get to that area? How long, what is the response time? Okay, when that particular vessel is captured, what happened to the personnel that were operating it? What happened to the vessel? But let's look at it this way. How many times have you seen a Nigerian court convict an oil chief?
Good question.
Okay.
Good question.
So it is, that is why what I was told by the IOC when he said it's an organized crime. I seem to understand what he's talking about.
Right.
Because you can't. Now, what did NNPC do? They resorted to just simply, rather than hand over the vessel, they would just burn it and destroy it. You will know that one vessel down. You see the kind of challenge they face. So they are not the judiciary. It is not their duty to prosecute.
Right.
It is not their duty to keep hold of vessels involved in stolen crude. Those are the jobs of other security agencies.
Essentially, Obaz, I mean, I like the question you asked about what are they doing. Essentially, you're implying that this goes beyond NNPC. In fact, we could say that even the security agencies are in this syndicated crime of
exactly.
Okay, Obaz, you know what we're going to do? Let's prepare to head out. Let's take this break. We'll take this break. When we return, I want us to talk about fuel subsidy, because there's also an allegation that, you know, NNPC is not really, you know, upfront about the subsidy payment thingy. We'll be back, Lagos. Stay with us, please.
This is Morning Crossfire on 99.3 Nigeria Info.
The nation's number one radio station, 99.3 Nigeria Info, Lagos. Thank you for being with us. We're back from the break. I'm Sheriff Quadri. I have Obaz Esedesa on the show. Obaz is the chief correspondent and head energy desk, Abuja Bureau of the Vanguard newspaper. He joined us this morning on the show. Obaz, thank you again for finding time to join us on the show this morning. Obaz, are you with me? Well, Obaz is not here. We'll try and reach out back to Obaz, then we can have him back on the show, because I still have loads of questions to put through Obaz this morning. Let's see if we can get him back on the line this morning. In the meantime, please send me your thoughts on your questions on WhatsApp. WhatsApp is 0809-597-5805. On WhatsApp, please make it short and straight to the point if you're sending me those messages. Obaz, thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep. Let's move on ahead very quickly, Obaz, this morning. And our next angle to look at is the area of subsidy payment. And quite a number of people have spoken in this regard as well. One of such people are the lawmakers themselves at the National Assembly. Some federal lawmakers, especially those on the Night Assembly, during many of their debates on subsidy regime, they alleged that subsidy payment was 3.7 trillion from January to June 2023, and that in 2011, Nigeria scandalously incurred 2.53 trillion back in 2011, the whole year, 2.5 trillion on subsidies for real and fictitious products, according to the lawmakers. Now, look at what the former NNPC, you know, did in terms of subsidy payments. Would you say that there were no frauds being perpetrated by NNPC themselves at that time, Obaz?
Okay, so let's do it this way. Two ways. We'll first of all go back to 2011.
Okay.
And now we'll link it to what is actually happening now.
Okay.
So in 2011, I'm not sure about the figures you mentioned.
Right.
But I'm going to use Nati's audit reports. Nati's audit reports, you know, 2011. You know, shows that subsidy payment for 2011 was 1.9 trillion naira. Now, I'm going to go back a year to situate that 2011 figure. Now, in 2010, according to NATO, the subsidy payment was 416 billion. Okay? Now, in 2012,
okay,
the figure was 960. So the question was, what happened in 2011?
In 2011.
Yes. Now, as at that time, the government was paying subsidies directly to the marketers.
Okay.
And as at that time, the agency in charge was Petroleum Product Pricing Regulatory Agency, PPPRA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were the one in charge of issuing licenses to marketers to bring in petrol.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was the year of President Jonathan and Desiani Alice Madueke. Now, the only thing a marketer needed or an individual needed to become a petrol importer was to know somebody in government. So all manners of people were bringing in products. So it wasn't just NNPC.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
Now, government, PPRA will authenticate your license, will monitor your imports, and PPRA will pay. So it had absolutely nothing to do with NNPC as a sole supplier.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward to 2-3 years back during Buhari's year. Now, subsidy is the price of petrol is determined basically by two components. First, the price of crude oil in the international market.
Okay.
Secondly, the foreign exchange, the exchange rate of the naira to the dollar.
Mm.
Now, you will understand that in Nigeria, yes, naira not depreciates. It keeps falling. So each time the naira loses value, the difference in subsidy in the actual price of petrol and what we pay increases. So it keeps widening. It keeps widening. So now you come because of the several forex windows created by that past government. It was not difficult because NNPC is in charge of Nigeria's dollar. It has favorable dollar exchange. Because of that, the other marketers were unable to get cheap dollar to bring in products.
Mm.
So government did something drastic.
Okay.
They made NNPC the supplier of last resort. Now, what does that mean? It means it became the responsibility of NNPC to ensure that the country had petrol, whether others import or not.
Okay.
So that made NNPC the sole importer of petrol. Now, something else happened. Rather than government paying NNPC, you know, make budgetary allocation, then pay NNPC for subsidy, they asked NNPC to use their own money to pay for the petrol.
Mm.
Now, so what happened? There would not be a letter. Now, NNPC is in charge of Nigeria's crude.
Okay.
So, ordinarily, they ought to sell those crude and remit to the Federation account. Now, but because they were paying from their cash flow for petrol we were consuming, they will net it off from the Federation money with them. Mm. At times, there will be a little bit of surplus to remit.
Okay.
At times, the Federation will owe NNPC because we were not producing enough crude. There was no enough sales to net off the amount paid for subsidy.
Mm.
So it kept rising. It kept rising. To the point that when I'll show you something. No, let me tell you something. I'll draw you back to 2016.
Okay.
In 2016, the subsidy for the entire year was 99 billion, according to Nature.
Okay.
Why was it 99? In 2016, the price of crude as of January 2016 was below $30 per barrel. Then Dr. Ibe Kanchiku was the Minister of State. So they started this price modulation fee. They were principally for about 3-4 months, there was no subsidy payment at all because the price of crude was down.
Okay.
And we were paying almost equivalent of the market price.
Mm-hmm.
So the price was down. You know, what this government did with subsidy removal, it's very painful for everyone.
Mm.
It's very painful. But what they have done is to take away the corruption in and around subsidy payments.
Mm. Mm.
To take away the smuggling of petroleum products to other countries. NNPC doesn't control the borders. it is not, they don't have what it takes to control the borders.
Mm.
They import and they distribute to marketers.
Right.
Marketers take it outside the country.
Right.
So we now have people in Niger, in Cameroon, in the Republic of Benin, in Chad, being supplied by Nigeria under a subsidy regime. And that is why it ballooned to the level we have it now.
Mm. Abbas, we have Abbas. I'm really sorry. We have to leave it here because we are pressed for time. But I would look for time to bring you back here because I still want to ask you about one of the allegations I've heard that NNPC directly or indirectly may be responsible for why the refineries are the way they are, so that they can keep importing and then keep operating and then be what do you call it now, relevant in the scheme of things as of today. But we'll get to that point when next I bring you here. But thank you so much, Abbas, for coming on the show today. You've provided so much clarity on the operation of NNPC for today.
Thank you, Sherry. I love your show. I'm going to monitor you now and follow you every Monday.
Thank you. Thank you, Abbas, for joining us. Abbas is a chief correspondent and head energy desk, Abuja Bureau of the Vanguard newspaper, been covering the energy sector for about 14 years.